Eskimos 4-0, Stampeders 3-0. Somebody's getting a loss tomorrow. Our next guest, hoping it's not his team, quarterback of the 4-0 Eskimos, Mike Riley, joins us. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jason. How are you?
Good. Well, I don't know what's going to fire you up more, the Calgary defense or the fact that Milt Stegall said you weren't easy on the eyes.
Man, what is that? You know, what pictures is he looking at? Let's be honest here. I mean, first of all, it wasn't even a question about looks. It was about facial hair. And I just, you know, I really feel like jealousy breeds envy, and he can't grow the facial hair that I can, so I think he tried to throw a dagger out there.
I was laughing at it. I was just amazed that you actually texted into the CFL on TSN. I mean, tweeted into the CFL on TSN.
Hey, man, you know what? Our work was already done for the week. I was relaxing, hanging out at the apartment, and I figured, what the hell? I'm a fan this weekend right now, so I'm gonna throw out a little question to the panel.
Nice, nice. I like it. Did they respond to you on Twitter at least?
You know what? Well, after Milt's barbs, I reached out to him. And said, man, we got a tough crowd tonight or something. And he responded to me, so I think we buried the hatchet. I think we're good to go.
Well, Milt always claimed he was the best-looking guy in the league. So you're right. Maybe he felt some competition. Who knows?
That's it. You know what? I mean, hey, that's fine. That's okay. You if they're talking about you, then you know they're worried. So.
Now, I had people saying that you had actually tweeted him a picture of you in one of your tight, low-cut V-neck shirts to say, hey, wait a sec, I think I look good.
You know what? It may be a fake account that did that because I don't recall that, but that's a good idea. I probably should have gone with that.
our Eskimo fans, should we expect a lot of razzle-dazzle, great new offense and defensive from the first closed practice yesterday?
Oh, man, you know what? We switched everything up. I think I'm actually playing defense now, and I think Odell's at quarterback. So, yeah, there's quite a bit of trickery that, people should be ready for.
I thought Odell would be a receiver after showing his hands the last game.
Well, yeah, that's true. He is a all-around, well-rounded athlete. So he could probably do it all. I'm not sure if he could kick. I don't know if he's got the flexibility for that or the temperament. But other than that, I think he could do it all.
The Winnipeg Blue Bombers kind of taking a page out of the old Don Matthews defense. They were always blitzing one more guy than you guys had to block from that one side of the field, and it seemed to give you guys some issues with it. Mike, from your vantage point, what as the quarterback, when that guy's blitzing extra, Chris Jones says, that's kind of your man, right? So how do you react to that? How do you what's going to be the game plan? Because I'm guessing Calgary might look and say, well, let's try to emulate that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's various ways that teams try to attack an offense, and Etcheverry's defense is a very good defense, but it's very unsound, and it's not your normal style. They're going to abandon certain gaps. They're going to overload certain sides, and within your protection rules, 95% of the time that teams bring a pressure that makes you, quote-unquote, hot, meaning they're bringing more guys than you can block. Generally, it's a cover zero look where they're basically playing man-to-man coverage 10 yards off the ball, and they have no help in the secondary. They have no free safety. Because of the way that Etcheverry runs his defense, they can overload a side with a less number of guys blitzing, but it still is going to make you hot. And it's tough to see at times because they're going to do a different look in the secondary where there's going to be a high safety, and it's just not your conventional look. And because of that, they're able to get pressure that you're not used to seeing, but they're also going to expose themselves to certain things. And one of those things was me taking off and running. I mean, there's a number of times early, everybody remembers, you know, some of the longer runs where I escaped some tackles, but the first two times that we converted on second and long, they brought their pressure looks, but they overloaded it to the one side into the boundary, and I was able to just run freely around the left side and pick up the first down. So, that's going to happen with a defense like that. The defense that we're going to play against this week is much different. They still bring a lot of pressure and things like that, but they do it in a bit more of a conventional way. It's tough when you're playing against Etcheverry's defense for the first time, and certainly we all got to improve, myself included. But now that we've seen it the next time around, I'm sure that we'll be able to pick up on some of those keys a little bit quicker and have some more success.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us. Mike, for you, when it's unconventional like that, and you know, if it's coming in hot, obviously they can't protect against the run. Is it up to you then to look into the receivers to try to pick that up before an audible to make sure the guys are on quick hitter routes? And do some of the receivers then even need to pick that up themselves and alter the length of their pattern?
Well, to a degree, but within our offense, pretty much every single play, the way that it's structured, there's a place to go with the ball that's considered, I guess, a hot route. It's not necessarily that they're going to change their route, but they already have a quick route built in to what they're going to do no matter what, and they're going to get the ball if it is a pressure situation. So it's not necessarily changing the route, but everybody being on the same page, you know, yeah, certainly the wide receiver's got to be aware that the ball's going to come out to him pretty quick. You know, I have to recognize it and make sure that I throw it to that spot. You know, and there's other times where it just depends on what the play call is, because if we're taking a shot down the field, we're potentially bringing in more guys to help protect and then taking that shot down the field, and there may not be an underneath route because we know we have additional protection, so we're going to have the time to throw it. Again, when that happens, if they're bringing a bit of an unconventional look, they may not necessarily be in that cover zero, and there may be safety help over the top. And at that point in time, you're going to have to take off and run because, you know, they've overloaded one side. But again, it's very complex. There's a lot of things that go into it, and certainly a big portion of that is me and recognizing things and getting the ball to the correct receiver, you know, in a hurry. So. It's all things that we've been working on since training camp started, and we're certainly a lot better than we were back in early June. But, you know, we're still a long ways from where we want to be, and hopefully, you know, by November we should have be playing at the very top of our game. But it's a long road between now and then.
Calgary's defense, you know, it's not Echeverry. So do you – I don't know. Like, they'll obviously blitz, and they'll have a hot read for you every now and then. But do you not expect – that same type of pressure tomorrow night than you saw in Winnipeg?
Well, Calgary presents a whole different bunch of issues. You know, Rich Stubler is a coordinator that's been in this league for a long time. I know all about him. I'm familiar with him from BC. And, you know, they do have a much different defense than Winnipeg, but equally as talented and still have the same ability to bring pressure just with different looks. You know, they got a lot of talent athletically and physically on their defense. Their defensive line is very active. Their linebackers are smart, and they can give a ton of different looks too. So, again, it's not any easier of a week, probably even more difficult, I would say. But the looks are going to be a lot different than we got last week, but make no mistake, they're still going to be able to bring pressure. We got to be able to recognize it as an entire offense and make them pay. You know, that's the thing, is it's a risk reward type of thing when you bring pressure as a defense. You know, you're hoping that you can get to the quarterback before he gets the ball out and makes completion, because those completions can turn into big plays for the offense. So we just got to take advantage of that, you know, and when teams bring pressure, we have to look at that as a positive for us and an opportunity to make some big plays.
Mike Riley joins us. Mike, when you evaluate your play a quarter into the season, what have you liked the most, and what's the one area you feel you need to improve on?
You know, there's a lot of things that I need to improve on. You know, obviously, after 4 weeks, it's far from perfect. We have done some things very good. You know, this is a much different offense than I've ever played in, and that really any of our guys have ever played in. So, you know, it's still a learning process. We're definitely not as much of a vertical throw the ball deep down the field as we were last year, and I think a lot of that stemmed from us playing from behind. Whereas, you know, the entire game last game, as well as most of the second half of the first three games, you know, we've been playing with the lead. And those are totally different circumstances, and you got to be able to do different things as an offense. And what I've been happy with is our control of the ball. You know, we dominated time of possession last week, and we've been able to pretty much dominate time of possession in the second half of most of these games. We've ran the ball well. We've hit the underneath passes pretty well. But we still got a lot of things that we got to improve on. Obviously, picking up the pressure, me recognizing certain things, that's something that I got to continue to improve on. You know, when we do have the opportunity to take some shots down the field, we've completed some of them, and others we've been very close, but just not quite connecting. So, you know, you want to see that, that percentage go up. You know, and obviously coming out and playing well in the first half is something that we're always going to try to accomplish. You know, so there's some good, and there's definitely some things that need to be worked on and that we need to continue to improve. But, you know, again, it's early in the season, and we're far from where we want to be, but we're definitely moving in the right direction.
I overheard you talking about, and I understand guys are always hard on themselves. You want to be better. You say there's a lot of areas to improve on. You're not throwing the ball downfield as often last year, this year as you were last year, and you had said you'd really never thrown the ball downfield that much last year, yet you completed a lot of balls. Your accuracy this year, because the offensive change, it might sound odd, but you're not going down the field as often. You're not passing as often. Does that impact consistency as far as completing passes?
Well, I mean, you're never going to make that excuse. You know, you need to be able to hit those throws when the opportunities are there. You know, but obviously last year when we were throwing the ball down the field as often as we were, it's easier to get into a groove to throw that deep pass because that's all you're really doing. But, you know, in this offense, you got to be able to make all the different throws. You know, I'm certainly capable of it. We as an offense are capable of it. We got to be a little bit more consistent. We got to execute better and more often. But again, you know, I think that's going to continue to elevate as the season goes on, as we get more comfortable, you know, and just as we improve every week within practice, you know. So I think that we've done a pretty decent job so far, but again, you know, it's far from perfect, and we got to continue to work because, you know, it's only going to get more difficult from here as the season goes on. These games get harder and harder every single week, and we have to be better every time.
This game does have a little bit more to it than most early season games. It's a battle of Alberta. Both teams are undefeated. And there's that little extra because of the whole coaching thing from Jones, how he left Calgary and, you know, tampering for Toronto and such. I just get a sense that there is a little bit more to this game. Do you feel it? And is that something that you as a leader of the team would promote?
You know what? Honestly, from a player's perspective, I can tell you that we don't really feel any of that.
Okay.
You know, this is a very exciting game to play for us because we know we're playing against an extremely good team, and they've been playing really good football. Nobody's been able to do much against them offensively. You know, their defense is a beast, and for their offense, they've had games where they've been able to move the ball down the field in big chunks. So it's a big test for us. But you know, I don't think that us as players, at least not with this team, we don't really focus on any of those, you know, off the field issues. I think the biggest thing for us is we just prepare for this opponent because they're the next team that we play. If we were playing Montreal or somebody else this week, I think us as players, our attitude would be the exact same as it is right now, and that's because we have a high level, you know, of aggression for every game that we come out and play. So, you know, don't mistake what I'm saying. We're very excited to play against this football team, but, you know, it's because it's the next game on the schedule. And it's great for our fans and for the province to be, you know, jacked up about it being, you know, us against Calgary. You know, but we take that mentality into every single game. So there's never a down week for us.
Mike Riley, quarterback of the Eskimos, joins us. Mike, we saw the hellacious hit that Fred Stamps took in that game, and you know, him and Bowman talked about how they ran their routes a little too close together, you know, and that basically allowed Bowman's guy to rock Stamps, and it would have been vice versa had the ball went into to Bowman's hands. As a can you tell from the snap if guys are running their routes too narrow?
You know, it's tough to pick up at times. Sometimes you can see it. You know, an additional part of that play was that we were down in the red zone and you're in a condensed area.
Yeah.
So things do happen a lot faster. You know, the amount of field, that defenders have to worry about covering is a lot smaller. So, things are going to be bang, bang as it is. You know, but yeah, in our offense, you know, the spacing is crucial on all the different plays, the location of the pass as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into it, and that's why we've said from the beginning that this offense is about 12 guys executing on every single play. It has nothing to do with star players, you know, just making crazy plays on their own ability. It's about us executing because the way these plays are designed and the way this offense works is for everybody to be in the right place at the right time, and if they do that, and I make the right read and the right throw, the defense cannot be correct. You know, there's always an answer for everything. So, you know, we always are trying to work on different things. You know, we've tweaked plays that we've ran and gone, okay, maybe we need to space it out a little bit, or maybe we need to move the splits in, or you know, whatever the case may be. But we definitely have landmarks that we want to hit on every single play that so we can avoid, you know, issues like that.
I've also noticed, and you kind of joked about it, I'm not a big slider, but I've seen you, you know, avoiding contact a little bit more this year. The only time I actually got hurt in the Winnipeg game, it looked like, was when you tweaked your ankle on that run. No side effects from that?
You know, what's funny is I actually had some text messages from my family waiting for me in my locker after the game, and they were asking me the same thing, and I ended up watching the TV copy. To tell you the truth, what happened on that was when I kind of slid sideways and started to roll over, the defender that was coming in kneed me right in my left cheek, if you will, and my whole backside went numb. It was the worst Charlie horse you'll ever have. And it lasted about 20 seconds, and then it was gone. So, other than that, I watched the TV and I was like, damn, that does look like I'm limping around because of my ankle or my knee or something like that. But, I went over the sideline because we had a lot of time in between, you know, those plays. And I said, dang, Jarius, man, he got me right on the left cheek there, man. My whole leg is freaking numb. So, you know, that's not anything that's been an issue all week, so I feel pretty good to go.
So basically he just slapped your behind and said, get back out there?
That's right, he did. He said, if it's it's an issue, we can always bring somebody in whose backside isn't causing them issues. But, you know, we were good to go. So.
And, Mike, we had Glenn Johnson on earlier, the vice president of officiating for the CFL, and he talked about it. You know, Odell Willis got flagged for roughing the passer, where basically he touched his foot, and Washington had the same on you. And he admitted that both plays shouldn't have been whistled down. As a quarterback, like, I understand the importance of protecting a guy for headshots, no doubt, and if a guy goes at your knee, do you think they've maybe, like, gone overboard, that they're trying to rein it in? Like, you guys aren't porcelain dolls. Like, a guy, you know, touching your foot, like, you're probably okay with that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a tough job for those officials. A lot of the times, you know, their view is from behind the quarterback, so, you know, they're blocked in what they can see. And from my perspective, you know, some of the hits that I took last year that didn't get flagged, I'm obviously not going to complain this year about getting flags on certain plays. But, you know, I think it's a combination of both. You know, they're doing a really good job of trying to protect the quarterbacks. But at the same time, you know, it's football. You got to let guys play. So, you know, I think that just as we do as players, come in and evaluate the film and figure out what we can do better on, I know that they do the same as officials. And, you know, I think as the season progresses, you know, I think we'll see first the number of penalties called start to go down, because guys are going to understand what's being called and what's not, and they're going to adjust their play accordingly. But I also think, you know, as you said in your previous conversation with the head of officials, you know, I think they're going to critique themselves and figure out, you know, what they need to do to change it to make the game, you know, more exciting without diminishing the level of safety that they have. So, you know, it's not an easy job by any means, you know, and I'm never going to complain about it. But I'm sure we'll see things change a little bit over the next couple of weeks.
And is it frowned upon, or maybe just flat out not? Are you guys not allowed to buy a 50-50 ticket as a player?
You know what? I actually think I found out a couple of days ago that the employees and the family members can't claim the prize or something like that. You know, now there again, it may have been somebody telling me that just didn't want me to buy a ticket so I would, you know, they could increase their chance of winning. But as far as I know,
even family members. Wow.
I think so. Okay. I think we're all exempt from winning that, which is unfortunate, because that's going to be a big payday for whoever it is that gets that.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking that could be over 170 is what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I was going to say between 150 and 2, you know, because if it was 70 at the last game, I expect they'll sell, you know, more than that just in general this game. And then I think the added hype, you know, of last game's rollover into this game's pot, I think, you know, that's going to make people, you know, empty their pockets for an extra ticket or two.
No, I definitely think so. Hopefully the rain stays away. Mike, good luck tomorrow night staying undefeated.
Thanks a lot, Jason. I appreciate it. Have a good one.